Okay, with that, I will call the Thursday, June 17th Plan Commission meeting to order. Mr. Eddy, please call the roll. Mr. Planning Manager.
Mayor Olson?
Here.
Commissioner Hogan?
Here.
Commissioner Burkhart?
Here.
Commissioner Haley is virtual.
He's technically absent.
Technically absent, okay. City Engineer Marl?
Here.
Alderman Dandria?
Here.
Commissioner Leon is...
He's absent as well. We're absent or present now. Okay, let's rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item on the agenda is approval of regular meeting minutes of June 3rd. Any additions or corrections?
Motion to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We have no public hearings tonight. We move on to business matters. D1 is Target Store. They're looking for temporary use for a whole bunch of shipping containers while they remodel the store. Mr. Martinez.
Yes, good evening. If you know the mayor, yeah, this is associated with the Target Store remodel. For 40 to 50 shipping containers that will be located in the parking lot, as you can see, and dumpster, also a job trailer, and the charging station. The shipping containers will be surrounded with a temporary fence. The applicant has confirmed that the parking that will be taken for this application will not be detrimental to the use of the store. It's approximately 127 parking spaces in that area. It will not be blocking any ADA space or any access to the building. And staff is recommending approval with the condition that along Lover's Lane Road, the fence will be screened because of the requirement of the UDO, because it's an arterial road, so it has to be screened.
And that's it. It's from now until November the 5th.
Correct. From July 12th, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The applicant's on the phone?
Yes.
Do it.
Yes.
I'm told by the city attorney we can't talk to you. So, at any rate, any questions for staff? Is there a motion to recommend, a motion to adopt a resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of a temporary use to allow for the placement of shipping containers on the west side of the Target Store parking lot for storage use during the remodel of the Target Store located at 7800 South Lover's Lane, expiring on November the 5th.
I'll make that motion, but then I have a question.
I'll second.
Okay, let's do this in reverse. Alderman Dandria.
Well, the reason why is I was looking at where Target wants to propose putting the fencing. Is that going to affect Bigsby Coffee, their drive-through scenario? And it looks like it does.
Yes, it does.
So,
Alderman Dandria, you modify your motion to require that the fencing end at the south.
That would be north
island, so as not to interfere with Bigby.
The north island.
You're talking north, right? That's not south.
Well, okay, whatever. The drive, so that doesn't south interfere with the drive-through for Bigby. Okay.
Yes, I will make that amendment.
And Mr. Burkhart acknowledges. With that, good catch. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thanks, applicant.
Thank you.
Okay, we move on to a proposal to change public notices to property owners and notices to the media regarding zoning and land division, land use matters, application item pursuant to the development UDO methods, formats, and process to implement a more accessible and efficient process. So I will start this off and Heath can finish. This is... The city attorney and I argue about this whenever I bring it up, but I've been bringing this up since 1998.
I never heard it.
Yes, you have.
No, I haven't.
Essentially, I believe that our notices, although legally correct and fully complete, the average citizen has no clue what they mean. And recently, we got a public meeting notice from Oak Creek. They've been sending these to us for years. And most of the information is on this public meeting notice that we put on ours. But to me, it's more readable. So with, and I would like us to be more user-friendly to our community. So with that, Mr. Eddy.
Yeah, one of the big issues we have typically is, if you want to scroll back up to the other one, people get this notice in the mail. If they do call us, if they haven't decided to give up and just throw it out or burn it or whatever they do with it, we usually get a phone call from them, something to the effect of, what are you telling me? Because I don't understand what this means. The only thing they get out of that is the phone number. Otherwise, they can't tell, make heads or tails out of what that means. And because where the legal description is located, it's right in the middle. So they're focusing on the middle of the ad. So they have no idea what that means to them. So they call us and say, what are they doing? And then we tell them, oh, okay. So we end up having to interpret for them something that they should be able to interpret for themselves, at least get the basics. If they want more details, they can call us and ask for details. The whole idea of a public notice is for them to get details. They're calling us and asking for basic information. It's the same problem we have with the UDO, by the way. The people call us to get first-tier information when they should be able to get it themselves and ask us the details rather than having to ask us for basic information. So the idea of doing this, and we've looked at these ads too, and staff has said, sort of generally aligned with the mayor in this regard, is that something like the Oak Creek version is much more visually easier to understand. It doesn't get into a whole lot of detail because the whole idea is to let them know something's happening that's adjacent to them that they might be interested in. But at least it's conveying the basic information for them to contact us if they want to have more information. And generally speaking, it's just easier on the eyes. Provides a little bit of a visual, a little map on the back page, so you get an idea as to where this is and what's going on. And the date, it covers all the basics of the meeting requirements. It doesn't have a legal description, but it does have a tax key number reference. So...
Mr. City Attorney.
Well, first of all, do we know that what you enclosed in the packet is actually what they submit for public notice to everybody to be published in the newspaper? Because I found one today, and it's standard form, and obviously there's no map in it.
Right.
So then... only adjoining property owners or adjoining municipalities would get, oh, they get a map too. And if you just look at your points on your memo, who's the requester for the public hearing? Standard form city notice. Oh, hear public comment regarding an application by Carish Inc. Oh, gee, who asked for it? Carish Inc. And then you look at the note, Oak Creek notice. Who is the applicant? All right, it's got it on there. What is the meeting about? Okay, Franklin in the packet. For a special use and standard industrial classification, use eating places with drive-through facilities to operate an Arby's restaurant out of an existing 3,288 square foot building with patio. Wrap-around drive-through, 28 parking spaces, including two Americans with Disabilities Act spaces and two drive-through spaces, and associated landscaping, lighting, and signage with hours of operation from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Sunday. Restaurant located at 7621 West Rawson Avenue, Perrin, formerly Pantheon Restaurant and Burger King Restaurant prior thereto. Okay, I think that answers what the meeting is about. When is the meeting? Oh, second line, on Thursday, April 23 at 7 o'clock p.m. Where's the meeting to be held? Oh, in the Common Council Chambers at the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, fourth line down. Location of the proposed development where the public hearing is required, for which the public hearing is required. I already gave you... that information. Plus, in case if you run into any adjoining properties or public right-of-way issues or whatever, you have the legal description in here. And I did do a quick run through everything. Found no statutory requirement to include a public hearing notice, but I did go into the zoning treatises, legal treatises, Rathkoff, and found a couple of case citations from, one was State of New York. The notice of hearing contains a complete and detailed description of the property which is to be affected by the act enactment, and it reasonably apprised the plaintiff. That was a lawsuit where there was an argument that there wasn't due process, due notice. And also another one, a notice of hearing of a proposed amendment to a zoning ordinance is sufficient where a correct legal description of the property to be affected was set forth in the notice. Blah, blah, blah. So there's all that stuff. And then, where did I go? The next point was, the reason for the public hearing, i.e. the code requirement triggering it. I don't see that on the example Oak Creek notice, but on the standard form Franklin, the last paragraph, this public hearing is being held pursuant to requirements of, and it's got the special use section of the Unified Development Ordinance, et cetera, et cetera. It's all cited in there. And then you look at the example from Oak Creek. Oh, what's being proposed? Review site, building, and related plans for an outdoor dining area. Does it say where it's going to be, how big it's going to be, et cetera, compared to the example of the Franklin in the packet? And then on the backside, there's zero information there except for, you know, a picture of the map. And especially in today's world, you got an address, you know, throw that on Google and it's right there. In fact, that was done on a unrelated to the Plan Commission matter on the screen before the meeting started. It took about a minute and a half to come up with the property. So that's my two cents. It's up to the Plan Commission for and staff, but and I did go through real quick the Plan Commission handbook from the University of Wisconsin Extension, and it in terms of public hearing notice content, since it's rare to find, okay, here's what you have to do. All the statutes, et cetera, just say, okay, you got to provide notice of the public hearing, and it's got to be a Class 2 notice, and then it cites the other chapter, and all the chapter on notices says, okay, Class 2 means this. It's got to go in a official newspaper 2 weeks, blah, blah, blah. But the UW Extension, following information should be included in the notice. One, name of the governmental body that will meet. Two, date, time, and location of the hearing. Three, name of the applicant. Four, location of land involved. Five, general description of the proposal. And six, subject matter statutory authority. That's it. So that's my two cents. But I just thought, I don't find this confusing at all. And you're going to get the same kind of phone calls. Okay, this outdoor dining area. How long is it going to be open? When does it open? Is there going to be lighting? Will there be music out there? How big is it? How many people will be out there? You're going to get the same phone calls on that stuff with this notice. All right, now I am done for sure. Thank you.
Questions, comments from the commission? Commissioner Burkhart.
I guess just for clarity, so what's published in the newspaper would be still published in the newspaper as it's shown. The notice of public hearing is still going to, would still appear in that form? In the newspaper, would that be
theoretically
the
it could. I haven't quite investigated the stuff involving the public notice for the newspaper itself. The degree to which other communities do or don't, my understanding is that some of them don't go to the lengths that we do. They're not quite as large. They tend to be smaller, a little bit more condensed maybe. But generally speaking, the format that we use for the stuff that we send people in the mail is generally speaking what a lot of them tend to do still. That's the legalistic approach. Then again, I don't know how many people actually read the public legal notices in the newspaper to get information on a public hearing notice either, except for people who have their skin in the game.
Yeah, I think we've seen enough people here that didn't really understand what was being proposed or what the actual business item was, and I guess in order to save staff some time, I don't see why we can't do both, and instead of sending this out, just send both out if it's going to go to the newspaper anyway. I mean, would that alleviate some concerns of the phone calls that you're getting? Because I'm assuming it's the volume of phone calls that's really creating the issue that people don't understand. Your staff is taking time to explain it.
We're having to take time to explain to them why are they getting a notice at all. So we're at the very first question we get is, what are you telling me? Because they don't even know what it is we're telling them, because for most people they don't read this kind of language and expect to understand what it means. So we'd rather get at least to the point where they're asking us, okay, more detailed questions like what are they proposing to do. Specific details that Jesse brought up, how many people are going to be out there, what are the hours of operation, that sort of thing. You can roll those into here, but you can do it in a way that is easier on the eyes and for the general public. It's targeted for them rather than targeted for their attorney to read.
And I understand the concern that the city attorney has with possible legal action, because certain things that appear in here wouldn't appear on here. So to me it seems simple. Instead of sending one sheet of paper, you send two sheets of paper, one summary that everybody can understand. And I mean, I can definitely see where a lot of people wouldn't necessarily understand this or even care to dive in and read it. So to me, you get the benefit of, you have your legal portion taken care of, and then you get the benefit of an informed public to the level that you don't have to explain the basic detail to them. And I think that's the point that everything is trying to get to. So if it's not too onerous on the staff to have to create both documents, I think that would probably be a pretty easy solution that takes care of both issues.
Commissioner Hogan.
My question was in with his. Thank you.
Let me just jump in here, and then the rest of the commission has comments. My issue isn't that any one of us could read it and understand it. My issue is we need to write it such that anyone could read it and understand it, and that's not what we have today.
I disagree.
Respectfully, that's fine. But you're an attorney. You look at things differently.
No, I don't.
So that's my view here. I'm more interested in attracting more people to public hearings than satisfying, I don't know who went first. Dandrio, Alderman Dandrio.
I can see, I understand Counselor his points. I also understand the commissioner's points. What we are looking at is something that is not very appealing, and it loses interest because all it is a blob of sentences, and this is where people lose their interest. This is more eye appealing, and some people are more visual understanders of documentation versus the legal blurb that we traditionally send out. If it is not a difficult task, you can easily put together a template, and then you can do what you need to do, and it's more attractive. And so maybe it'll answer your problem or solve your problem. It may not, as the city attorney said. Okay, you may still have to field these questions, but if you want something that's more eye appealing, hey, go for it. It's a marketing piece. It as the mayor said, it's hopefully it'll attract people around it to get involved and come to the committee, to come to the plan commission to have some answers or hear the answers. Okay, so I'm okay with it if you guys want to move ahead, but I'm fine with, you know, this is more attractive. It's more presentable. That's all I can see here. The information is virtually there on both, and I can see where the location is. I can see what it's about. I can say who. But if there's more of a concern of having that proper full legal description, you can easily put that on the back somehow. So that's it for me.
Mr. City Engineer.
Agree with Commissioner Burkhardt, I think. You know, if you would have to recreate the legal ad anyway for the newspaper, it doesn't sound like that's much extra work. If you would prefer to do it this way, which I can see the value for the common person to pick it up and read it, and there, you know, it's text and pictures and such, I think it's obviously a lot more readable. I had a question. I hope I'm not opening a can of worms. If we're going to look at what other communities are doing, and the mayor just mentioned, our concern is really to get more people here. I mean, how many times have we heard, I didn't even know this was going on because maybe they live just outside, you know, the area. I've heard pros and cons from different communities that do this, but I guess one of the pros is that you get more people at the hearings. If you were to require people to do like a little yard sign, the orange yard sign, something on this property is appearing at Plan Commission. So
that was my next comment.
Immediate neighbors would get these. But for any of the passerbys who would have an interest in the park, that would really get folks to notice that something's going on. They don't necessarily need the whole information. Maybe the sign would say, for more information, see city website, da-da-da-da-da. But, you know, you charge an extra $20 or whatever in the application fee to cover the cost of purchasing these signs, and you just, you know, take a big fat Sharpie and, you know, write the date that they're going to show up at the meeting, that kind of thing. I think I from communities that do it, the people seem to enjoy it. I'm not sure staff always enjoys it, but it does get more people at the meetings. So.
Okay, the city engineer brought up something that I was going to talk about next.
Sorry.
No, so it's fine. It's fine. But my point is, we need something more readable, something that'll attract more people, these public hearing notices, and give them more information, either visually or briefly, in an easy-to-read format. Frankly, there's a side benefit of not printing the legal description, because we pay for column inches for each one of these.
Yeah.
And it gets very expensive. I don't know what the budget is, but it's in the tens of thousands. So our big issue with the city attorney is what is legally required. And we can make sure that whatever's legally required is on this piece of paper, but I want it to be more visually appealing. I want it to be brief. I want it to be less legalese in terms of brevity, but I want more information on it. And we get that by looking at the map. If I read this at 10166 South 27th Street, I have no clue where that is other than 27th Street. I flip over the map and say, oh, yeah, it's right across from Wheaton. It's right next door. Well, it's close to what used to be Ray Bustler's. So now I know where it is, and we don't get any of that from ours. I challenge anybody to use the legal description to go find a property. I don't think
only a surveyor.
So, but I am concerned, as the city attorney rightly brings up, we need to make sure that we're all legal, but I don't particularly care for the way they do this, but we can come up with our own. As to the city engineer's comment about placing a sign.
Yard sign.
That's what you said. I'm not saying that. I'm saying with DPW Sign Shop produces a sign that says this property is subject to zoning or building changes. For more information, call 414-425-70, whatever, no, 1420 or whatever the heck it is. And that's it. And make about three or four of those and scatter them in front of a property, and We only do it once. Nobody needs to pay for anything more than one round of signs. The information is there, and everybody knows that something's going to happen on this property. So then they can call. That's the next thing. But we need to give direction as to whether we're going to change our format. And I think the most appropriate thing is to have staff come back with a couple of two mock-ups, and it'll be an either or. Can't, Brian, sorry. Thanks, though. We can talk later. Commissioner Hogan.
When we're going to be doing this mock-up thing, would city attorney, would you have your input into that and make sure that whatever legal stuff needs to be in would be in?
Yes.
You would work with them to make sure that, because we could get sued, correct? Is that, I mean, that's your main concern, I think, correct? Am I correct on that or not?
No, my main concern is always to do it right under the law.
Okay. All right. I would hope that they could work together and we could develop something that's understanding to me and other people who don't understand things and have the legal stuff in there that we need to have in there.
Okay. Is there a motion to refer this, Mr. City Attorney?
Just one more point on and I didn't have enough time to get all the way through it because I didn't really get into any detail on the subject matter until this afternoon with everything else going on. But there is, just for applications for zoning amendments, there's a requirement that the petitioner, meaning the applicant, shall provide a complete legal description of the property for which a change in zoning is requested. And I didn't get totally through. I was just doing key searches. We got to make sure the UDO doesn't have a requirement as to what the public notice says. And number two, in terms of the map, if the map goes in the newspaper, it's going to cost a lot more than a legal description, is my guess, for publication. And I don't know if anybody, we'll find out if anybody else actually publishes maps and what that cost might be. Okay.
Is there a motion to refer this item to staff with the requirement, can you do it by next plan, or do you want a little more time?
I want to give staff a little bit of time to...
So the second plan commission meeting of July. Okay. And to return with two examples, as well as wording for potential signs to be placed on just barricades. Barricades is not part of the motion.
So, yeah, we tend to find signs walk away when they're just a barricade.
Well, we'll figure it. Is there, Mr. City Attorney?
Just with regard to the proposed signage, you know, staff was concerned about the number of phone calls because people don't know, and now you're literally not telling them anything on these posting signs, and you're telling them to call because you're not telling them anything on the sign. So it's like the other extreme.
It's in every jurisdiction I've ever worked in, we always posted a sign. It was required to post for public hearing. This is probably the only state I've ever been in where we aren't. It's not explicitly required. You don't want to put too much information on that sign because then people are going to stop trying to read it while they're driving, and that could be dangerous. You're just trying to convey enough information so that if they see it and they're like, oh, what's going on, they can call. That's all you're trying to do, is just trying to generate some kind of traffic for them to be able to at least find out what's going on. You're not trying to convey too much information because then it becomes overload and then it can be dangerous.
Did I have a second? Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Any we'll discussion?
First. Who was the first?
Andrews.
Yeah, I made the first.
Yeah. All those in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We're adjourned.